Welcome back to the Build Your Empire podcast, where today we are joined by Bree Stedman. So we're going to get gnarly on today's podcast, and we're going to dive straight into why women more so stay stuck. So Bree is the spokesperson and trainer for the Institute of Women's International. So welcome, Bree. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Melanie.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So you know what? Let's just dive straight into it. I know to be true, right, is that it's not that the tools aren't available for us to grow. There are so many different ways that you can grow, you know, mindset-wise and shift belief systems. Tell me, what do you see when it comes to that area, why people stay stuck?
Okay, so there's going to be two lines of thinking here. The first is the person. Individually, there is a certain level of readiness that must be achieved for a woman to want to. She has to be ready to change. She has to want to change. She has to be committed to change. And if she's not meeting those three criteria, then she will find any excuse to stay stuck. And a lot of the time, what she's finding the reasons to stay stuck is because of a fear.
Okay.
So one is readiness. Second is the fears that are actually. It's almost like the fears are too big for her to overcome. And this links into what a lot of people in personal development don't even consider, which is epigenetics. Mm-hmm. So epigenetics is proving that we inherit up to 14 generations of emotional shit. So to say a woman has, let's say, a fear of judgment or a fear of being ridiculed or a fear of not being liked, which are all really valid fears, a lot of approaches will look at it and go, okay, well, what's happened in your lifetime that has caused you to feel fear of judgment? Let's talk about that and let's try and make some resolution around that. But epigenetics is saying we inherit up to 14 generations. Now, that's around 300 years of history. So that means, I know, right?
Oh, my God. No wonder I've been so messed up at times.
Exactly. Because we're not just inheriting, you know, our mum's issues and our grandma's issues. We're inheriting, you know, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma from 300 years ago, from a time when women were suppressed, when women were cast out, where women, it was genuinely a fearful thing for a woman to speak her truth because, God forbid, she was labelled a witch, she'd be burned at the stake and killed. So there's a lot of history that is playing out in our DNA that is driving the current fears that we are experiencing. And a lot of the tools that are available, the tools aren't going deep enough and the practitioners using them aren't aware of where they actually need to go. So they're sticking around at the surface. And from a female's perspective, if you've invested, and I've worked with women who have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in trying to get rid of their shit, you spend that kind of money and you're still stuck, then, you know, that's why we get frustrated. So
look at what you're doing. So you feel, I mean, I know, you know, after being in business online now for 7 years, what I found to be a super common thread is people hand their power over more so to their husbands, you know, and obviously there'd be, you know, people that are in same-sex marriages where it happens as well, I'm sure. But, you know, I've noticed that, you know, you see somebody get so excited about what's possible. So excited, right? She's beaming with what's possible. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, oh, sorry, I can't do it, or I can't do your program, or I can't come to your event, which, you know, for me, well, hey, the show goes on. But, you know, for them, it's probably been one of the hardest things for me online to watch. You know, being a very, you know, independent, super empowered woman who's, you know, crushed everything she's put her mind to, it's been really hard to watch women give up on their dreams. What do you think about that?
I think, again, that's where those two angles are playing out. So the readiness, she might be, we train our practitioners to think of it like there's four stages of readiness. So stage one is where they are still stuck in story. They're still stuck in circumstances. They need to be heard. This is where, you know, the story is important, because if a woman's not heard, then she feels dismissed and then she becomes a recluse. So stage one is very much still stuck in story. And that's where counselling and talk therapy and all of those kind of things are really great, because they're trained to listen. Yeah. Stage two is where they're not so much wanting to talk about the story anymore. They're wanting to change, but there's this pullback effect of, yeah, but if I let go of my story, then how am I going to get a pension? And who am I?
Yeah.
And where is all of this stuff that I know going to come from? Because if I don't have this part of me anymore, then where do I go to? So the fear of becoming that new person holds someone in stage two because the story is still too appealing.
Do you think in stage two people become addicted to the drama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And this is where they can get stuck in drama. So, you know, you've got those people on social media that put up the big posts and go, oh God, my life just sucks. They're putting it up there, not because they actually feel like their life sucks, but because they know they're going to have 500 people going, don't be silly, you've got the great life and you're doing such a good job and blah, 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 blah. So they're getting their ego stroked and they're also being reinforced unconsciously. And a lot of this, you've got to remember as well, women don't choose to stay stuck. There is never a woman I've ever spoken to that would purposely choose to stay stuck. It's all of the unconscious fears that are holding her in that pattern. So someone who is stuck in that space of attention seeking, they're doing it because the fears to not be who they are, to let go of the story, are too great.
Yeah.
Stage three is where those fears start to sort of move out of, I don't want to talk about the story anymore. And this is where a lot of people are living in personal development because they're starting to see that there could be a different way, but they're still reliant on someone else to hold them accountable or to give them permission. Or so they're not fully empowered because they're still stuck in that space where they either need permission or they need the encouragement from someone else.
And there's still no drive, right?
No, and the tiniest little excuse like, oh, husband said, nah, I can't do it, or partners questioning why I'm doing what I'm doing it, that tiny little hiccup in the road can be enough for them to pull back.
Yeah, and I think, I see a lot of women, say for example, we're booking a call or something, you know, oh, no, I can't because my kids are home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? No, we can't use our kids as an excuse. We have to use them as our why. But it seems as though, you know, like you said, sometimes it's whatever they can grasp to be an excuse to why they can't show up.
Yep. And that's really stage two and three, that they still fall into stage two more so, but stage three will use the bigger excuses like the lack of money, the lack of time, the overcommitment from everything else. Stage four, which is where real change can take place and be long lasting, that's where there is no excuse big enough. You tell me I need X amount of money, I will find the money. If it means I've got to save up for it, then I will save up for it because the thought of staying in the pattern that I'm in right now is a non-negotiable for me. I will not live the rest of my life with this shit.
So stage four is the pain. Stage four is, you know, when I entered the online space and I soon became a, you know, single mom quite quickly, you know, I went to stage four quite quickly because it was, I refuse to sell everything and go backwards.
Yep.
This is an absolute must for me. And it stayed that way. You know, we're 7 years later now and I'm still, you know, pedal to the metal. But, you know, it the pain of going backwards far outweighed whatever I had to do to go forwards.
Yeah. So the pain was your driver, but it was the commitment that caused you to be level four, because we are, in our unconscious minds, are designed to keep us safe and to prove us right. So the unconscious mind is always going to move you towards the lesser of two pains. So in your situation, selling all your shit, not being able to do what you really wanted to do, was a greater pain than not doing it.
Yeah.
And so your unconscious mind caused you to do whatever it took to avoid feeling that pain of having to sell all of your stuff. And that was my exact situation as well. When I transitioned, so I've been in business for 17 years. I've worked with women for 17 years. I've been around the block many, many times. Originally as a leader in a multi-level marketing company where I trained thousands of women. And then I transitioned from that into personal development because I got sick to death of putting on Band-Aids. And it felt like, for a lot of personal development, it's just put on another Band-Aid. Let's not address the festering wound that's actually
causing pain. Nobody's ripping it off. Nobody's ripping the Band-Aid off. Everyone's just putting more on. I love that. You know what? I'm going to make that my post for today.
Yeah, I'm glad I inspired you. Yeah, because that's where I got to 10 years ago. I myself was sick to death of the Band-Aid, so I fixed me because and I'm a firm believer that for a lot of people in the personal development industry, we get into it because we ourselves are stuck. We're hurting in some way. So we're wanting to fix self. For a lot of women in this space, the thing that stops them from elevating their businesses to the next level is, if I can't really fix me, so I'm still feeling like a fake, I'm still fearing judgment because the stuff that I've done for me, yeah, it's good. It's got me to where I am. But if I can't do that for me, who the hell am I to say I can do that for another woman?
Yes, amen. And this goes back to, you know, a lot of people listening would have seen my previous post probably about coaches that are coaching people that haven't done it themselves. My topic was more about, you know, hey, let me show you how to make $100,000 a month and they're only making five, you know, and it's exactly the same with the personal development. I think just because you've gone and done a course, or just because, you know, you all of a sudden you did a life coaching program, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to open up a can of worms. And I think when I entered the personal development world, I was so incredibly scared of who I was going to work with. It wasn't really scared of doing the work, but I knew that if I didn't open up the can of worms with the right person, once that can of worms was open, that was where the pain was going to be for me. Because if that was opened by the wrong person, I was going to be left with massive amounts of trauma, you know, that come to the surface while I'm trying to run a business and raise babies. And I knew that it couldn't be done that way. So, you know, I didn't invest for a very long time. And it wasn't because I was not wanting to. It was because I hadn't found that person that I connected with yet. You know, and when I did, instantly, you know, it was a no-brainer, and obviously continued to invest from there. So how important do you think it is to do that, you know, to find somebody that, you know, really has the proven track record? Because I know that a lot of people go for the free shit. Yep. A lot of people go for the $49 mini course, or the, you know, the person that's going to let you pay it off $14 a week. You know, what do you think about that part?
I think that's where so many people get let down. And this is why the personal development industry is also struggling, because you can get a certificate from anyone, but if there's not, and again, you've got to remember, women do business different. Women do life different. And part of our makeup is that we require community. We require sisterhood. We require connection to support one another to grow. The issue with that is, in a lot of industries, there's so much bitchiness involved that women don't want to be vulnerable, or they don't want to give away their secrets, because if I do, blah, 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 blah. So one of the key cornerstone philosophies of what we do with our practitioners is, we know that women are going to, you know, you can't do one course and then go, right, I'm healed now, all my shit's sorted. I'm never going to need to work on me again. Now I can work on you. It's not going to happen, because A, you're human, and if we inherit 300 years of emotional shit, then you are going to be triggered by more things in the future than what you are currently aware of, because you've not experienced those things yet. So we as practitioners are always going to be leveling up, always, because the next level, next devil kind of thing. You learn what you need to learn now to go to the next level. And when you're at the next level, you are then going to be exposed to a whole different range of triggers that are going to expose the next set of issues. So your own ongoing facilitated development is crucial. Second to that, and this is where a lot of training institutes let women down, there's no follow-up. It's, here's your certificate. Now, good luck. Build that business. Go do what you need to do. And, you know, either you can pay us again another $5,000, $7,000, and we'll give you more advanced training skills, or, you know, just chuff off. You'll be good. You're good to go, you know, now, love.
Do you know what got me on that, and you just got me thinking about that, was, you know, the first place that I invested heavily in, they you know, had this ongoing program thing that, you know, I was kind of in, but I wasn't in, which was confusing in itself. But the follow-up for me came from some random person that I'd never met. Whereas when I originally had made the investment, I was working with the owner of the company. Obviously, you know, it got bigger and whatever, but for me, I didn't reinvest, although I definitely could have, because I felt as though I'd been kicked to the curb. You know, and as your business grows, all of a sudden now you need to speak to John. And I'm like, oh my God, it just took me, you know, 32 years to bare my soul to you. and yeah. now I've got to meet John, you know. And I yeah. think, you know, when you said that, that definitely made me go, yeah, wow, that yeah. is what people want. We want a journey, you know. And
well, and it's two approach too, yeah. Mel, because it's not just about you, it's also about your clients. So if you took on a client in the early days, when you are still learning your tool, you're learning your craft, and that client happens to throw a curveball to you, if there's no support network for you, how do you support your client when you don't have the skill set or the experience? So it's about supporting you as a facilitator to work through whatever's been triggered in you, but also provide you with guidance so that the client gets the outcome that she deserves. Because in all of this, the person that gets missed is the client. The person who's actually paid the facilitator the money to help them, she's the one that's left still feeling like shit because the facilitator, well, I got my money, I've done my little bit, I'm going to move on now. So our philosophy is very much built around, we've got to help you to continue to develop your skills, both personally with your own issues, and also as a, we call our girls transformologists, because it's the science behind transforming a woman's life long term. And in order for her to do her job well, and all of our girls guarantee their clients results. No one in this personal development industry would ever put their money where their mouth is, and we do. And the reason that we can do that, not just as practitioners, but for the Institute training them, is because if a woman is going to hand you over a few thousand dollars to say, please, this is my life on a platter. I feel like shit about myself. I have no self-worth. I have no self-confidence. I need to fix me because I am a mum and I'm a wife and I'm a partner and I'm a friend and I'm a sister and I'm all these other things to all these other people, but I'm empty. If we're going to take money from someone, then we owe it to her to give her the result that she's looking for. And in order to do that, you as a facilitator need to be supported, and you also need to have that space to land. So should it go to shit, you've got someone higher up in you know, the experience ladder that can say, okay, why don't you take this approach instead? And that way the client gets what the client needs to get. So it's, again, it's a female way of doing business, because it's not about, well, you know, you owe me or you're going to take from me. It's about how can we best help her so that she gets her result. You get your result as a coach because you've now got a raving client, and the tool that we're teaching you to use is what's facilitating the change. It's a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And I think that's it's a big thing. You know, I don't work with anybody that doesn't have their own coach, because to me, again, you know, that means that they're at that stage of ego. I already know what I need to know. You know, I have everything that I need, and it's just not true. You know, it's not true. And like you said, the people that got you here won't be the people that get you to the next level. You've got to keep, you know, growing and learning. So, you know, for the people that are listening, Bree, what are a few tools, you know, if they're feeling as though they've done all the courses and they've done all the little mini programs and they've invested money and they're still stuck, right? And I can think of a few people straight away that come to mind, right? And they would have no problem. I bet you they'll even pick that it was them. But, you know, what would you say to someone like that, you know, where they've made the investment, they are doing the work.
Yep.
While they've got somebody right there with them, what would you say to them now?
Look at the tool that you're using.
Yeah.
Because if she's doing the work, if she's committing, if she's following through with everything, and she's holding up her end of the bargain, then the only thing left is the tool. And again, this is it's a little bit controversial. I can't say that word, but it's a little bit controversial, because for women who, particularly women who've invested in all these other approaches, they get to a point where they're like, well, there must be something wrong with me because I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried this and I've tried that. No, sweetheart, there is nothing wrong with you. What's wrong is the approach that you're using is not talking to the network that you run on. Think of men and women like iPhones and Androids. If men were iPhones, all of the current approaches that are available for most people are Apple apps. For women, we're Androids. You cannot put an Apple app into an Android and expect it to work fully functioning and actually get the result. So if you've tried everything and you are committed and you want to change, whether it's as a client or whether you are the facilitator wanting to create that kind of change, and it's still not happening, if you know in your gut, we call it the missing piece, and So the women who are listening, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If they know that something is missing in what they are doing, it's the tool. Look for a tool that is an epigenetic breakthrough. So it has to address the fact that we inherit 300 years of history. If it's not, then you're just picking off the scab.
Yeah.
Look for something that is female specific, because and this is, you know, you could go into the big conversation about gender. It's not about gender assignment. This is all humans are born either XY chromosome or XX chromosome. They are either assigned male at birth or female at birth. Now, for those humans that are born female at birth with XY chromosome, a uterus in place, we run an entirely different body system that talks to a very different level of unconsciousness that the males don't, because males do not need to know how to grow human child.
That's exactly right.
So unless the tool has been designed to speak to that level of unconsciousness, then you're only going to scrape off the scab. If you want to go deeper, then you've got to talk to who we are as a gender, which is female born with a uterus.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it makes so much sense, you know, when I think about these people that are on my mind and, you know, why are they not getting the results that they want? And then I look at the tools that they've used. You know, one of them has been inside my program, which is definitely not a mindset program. But I feel as though they're probably going and doing all the things but what they need to do, you know. So I'm busy being busy. But not busy actually working on themselves, right? So, that's really
that fear thing coming in again as well, Mel, because procrastination, you know, you've probably got a lot of people that come to you and say, you know, I procrastinate a lot. Procrastination is not the problem. Go deeper. What's actually causing the procrastination? Well, if I take this action, then the potential result is I'm going to be seen. I'm going to make, you know, $100,000 a month. Yeah. Okay, so what are the beliefs that you have around that? Well, you know, money changes people, or if I make all of this money, I'm going to change who I am. And what if I don't like her? What if other people don't like me? What if I'm rejected? What if I succeed and now I have to become someone I don't know how to become? Or what if I fail? What if I make $100,000 and then I lose it all? What's everyone going to say? So all of these deeper things are the fears that are actually causing people to procrastinate in the first place. So again, as a coach, you can look at procrastination, you can set them goals and say, okay, well, this is what you've got to do and this is what you've got to do. And while ever you're there pumping them up, yeah, they'll probably take the action. But when they're sitting there on their own and they've got to take the action, that unconscious mind and all of those programmed fears that are playing out are going to be delaying her and causing her to stop. And that's why, you know, we've got to do the bigger work to cut the not cut it off, we're reprogramming the beliefs at the deepest possible root, so that when she takes action, when a woman knows she is worthy, when she knows that she is capable, when she knows that there's nothing actually going to bad happen if someone does judge her, and she can feel that with every single cell of her heart. So there's mindset. For women, there's also heart set. You've got to feel in your body all of the things that you're trying to convince yourself that you do feel. Yep. And when a woman is that aligned, then she will naturally want to take the action to create the results that she wants.
So
we've got to work because on not is. So much heart. We've got because to work on heart is. Set.
It's because she's become, you know, and I'm kind of likening that, you know, as you speak, thinking about my journey. And, you know, I never really had that fear of what people thought, you know, obviously every now and then, but, you know, it was, wasn't something that I really struggled with. But that's because I was so seeded into the growth, you know, like you said, I'd made that commitment. So for me, I was like, move, bitch, get out of the way, right? And I was like, I'm coming through, you know, I don't care what gets thrown at me. So it's so interesting. And I reckon we could talk for hours about this, but, you know, I would love for you to share a little bit about Creatrix. You know, for anyone that's listening that, you know, aligns with what you're saying and would like to, you know, find out a little bit more about working with you and your team.
Yeah. So obviously Creatrix was designed by a woman for women. The lady who innovated Creatrix, her name is Marilyn Shermer. Her story, I mean, she comes from fourth generation child sexual abuse, domestic violence, single mum on the run situation, and changed her life. But through her changing of her life, she also started to see these patterns where for women the journey to change was so much harder. And so, like a lot of people that are probably listening to you, to this, she did all of the training. She did all of the, you know, the mainstream approach to helping herself, and it helped, but she wanted more for herself and she wanted more for women. So that led her on a big old journey of uncovering epigenetics and learning more about the female brain. And through all of that, Creatrix was born. So that was 10 years ago. It was a little over 10 years ago. I experienced Creatrix myself 10 years ago when I was a physically violent mum to my 4-year-old and 2-year-old at the time, because I didn't want to be that angry mum. I was living a facade of big, positive, professional, successful woman, and then I'd go home and absolutely lose my shit to my kids, and I didn't want to keep that up. So Creatrix changed my life literally on a dime, and it was because of that that I then entered into the space. So we've been around now since 2013. We opened the doors of the Institute. We have facilitators now in 22 countries around the world, and every single one of our facilitators are trained to guarantee results. So I guess for the women who are listening, if what we've been talking about in terms of epigenetics and the female factor that is absolutely crucial for healing, if that is what's spiking your interest, then quickest way to get in contact with me personally would be to go to my direct website, breezedebman.com. And from that, I can then refer you out to the Institute page, and we can stay connected that way. You know, I can help those people with their journey personally. So,
it's definitely a
life-changing process.
Oh gosh, yeah, it sounds amazing. I definitely know that there's going to be a lot of people that this, you know, the penny drops. So, you know, when we share this on YouTube, we'll put some links up as well for people to be able to connect. So, thank you so much, Bree. I love the power of social media connecting us, and I'm definitely going to be watching you. You know, and I'm sure that we're going to connect in other ways. So, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Mel.
You're most welcome.